Okay, if you wouldn't mind turning to Ephesians 5. If it's not too much trouble. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Lord, bless this time tonight, we pray. Help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm glad that Paul expands with verse 2 after saying verse 1, because some people have no problem with verse 1, but they do have a problem with verse 2. You know, be imitators of God, you know. It's, some people have no problem trying to do that. But then you define, okay, what does that really look like? Okay, let me describe to you what God looks like. Paul says, be imitators of God and walk in love. You know, most people, if you ask them to describe God, they wouldn't immediately talk about Christ. And it's unfortunate because Jesus Christ was the full disclosure of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews it says, he was the express image of God. We've been talking about that. We talked about that on Monday night. The express image of God is Jesus Christ. That's what he looks like. That's how he acts. And so, be imitators of God. This is a good purpose statement. What's your purpose in life? Is to imitate God. What does that mean? Well, it means to walk in love as Christ also loved us. Love is really very expressive. It's expressed. The way Christ loved us was how? How did we know Christ loved us? Did he say nice things about us? How? How do we know Christ loves us? Jesus didn't have a son. Okay, let me try this again. How do we know Christ loved us? Thank you. He gave himself for us, right? Ultimate sacrifice for our benefit. There's no greater purpose for the saint. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, 28 and 29, it describes this. And it kind of details this in this light. If you think about Romans 8, 28 and the light of Ephesians 5, 1, it's very clear. And it says that we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And then the purpose is described. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. See, that's the purpose of all the things working together for good, is to make us like Christ. And Christ looks like what we just described. Paul describes, what does God look like? So Paul, in two different places, is talking about this, and really, it's very important that we understand something about this too, and that this is the work of God to make us like Christ, using all things, right? Using all things. It's interesting. The first time we made a turkey at our house, I remember we took the bag out. You know, the turkey always has a little bag of stuff in it. You reach in the turkey, you know, and you yank it out. It's a bag of stuff. You think, wow, this turkey swallowed a bag. No, what's in that bag? Giblets. The neck. The giblets. Now, my sister would work wonders with the giblet and the neck. The giblet. Now, we took it out of the turkey, and I looked at Karen, and I said, what's that? And Karen says, it's garbage. See? She doesn't use everything. God uses everything. See? He works all things together for good. That was a Thanksgiving illustration for you. See how practical this message is? This is the work of God. And everything God does works in us to make us more like Christ. Paul says, be imitators of God. This is how. By walking in love. And that love is not just you're going to sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya. You're going to express that love by making sacrifices for one another. That's what God looks like. And if we want to show God to the world, then we start here by making sacrifices for one another. That make sense? Okay. By the way, this was predetermined that would happen, according to Romans 8:21. God's determined that this is going to happen. Predestination is not about your eternal salvation. It's about your eternal condition, which is Christ-likeness. That's what predestination is about. So in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, or all of us, with an unveiled face. Now, this basically means with a clear vision, nothing, no obstruction. Behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, Moses, when he saw the glory of God, put a veil over his face because it freaked people out when they saw the glow. Right? He had to hide that. Paul is saying, there's no hiding the glory of God because it's Christ. We with unveiled face behold the glory of God in a mirror. What's Paul saying? He's saying, when you look in the mirror now, you should begin to see Christ-likeness. Follow me? How many see that? So he says here, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we, all of us, are being transformed by the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God begins to work this incredible work in us, and it is working this incredible work in us, I should say. I heard one pastor say it like this. He said, beholding in the mirror. See that little phrase right there in verse 18? Beholding as in a mirror, we are transformed into that same image. See, from glory to glory. We become conformed to what we gaze at. So if you gaze at lust, you'll become conformed to it. If you gaze at godliness, you become conformed to that. And I when you think about what gazing at something means, it means when your mind is fixed on something. And being fixated on something is both positive and can be positive and can be very negative. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. That implies that there is taking your eyes off one thing and putting it on Christ, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started this walk. He's completing this walk. Our eyes are in Him. And then it describes Him. who for the joy set before him, the thing that motivated him, caused him to endure the cross, despise the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now there's a deeper word in verse 3, for consider him. Now this is talking about meditation and deeper contemplation about Christ, who endured such hostility of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Now, discouragement here could be translated discontentment. All right? Could be. Probably would be an excellent application here. Because contentment is really the result of a proper occupation. Meaning, we're looking unto Jesus, we're beholding him in his glory, we're looking at that image from glory to glory, like I said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, right? We're considering what it means to be an imitator of Christ and how he loved. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, and as we do that, we become content. If your focus is fear, worry, lust, others, pain, insults, your failures, whatever that focus is, you will not be content. There is a transforming power to the glory of God. It transformed Moses' appearance physically. When we gaze at the glory of God now, it transforms the appearance of our life. It does transform us. So this is the principle. It's, you know, what are you occupied with? Now this word imitator in Ephesians 5 is mimetes. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Mimetes. It's used in several different places. The Greek word actually means to imitate by following. So when you hear be an imitator of God, it doesn't mean a phony acting. That's a different kind of imitation. How many of you remember Rich Little? He was good. That's an impersonator, right? We're not impersonators, but imitating mimetes is imitation through following him, God, right? And there are several places. For example, 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore I urge you, imitate me. Here's Paul, a human being, a man, a leader, and he says, imitate me. Now, that's pretty bold. Could you say to your children, imitate me? Actually, you don't have to. They will. But could you say to somebody, imitate me. Imitate the way I follow Christ. Paul says, imitate me. But what he's saying is, imitate me by following me. Then in another spot, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me while I'm following Christ. I've had some beautiful, beautiful men of God to follow. And when they followed Christ, it was amazing. You know, many of you have met Dr. Lewis. I have seen that man's life, and I have literally followed his life for 30 years. And I have seen him walk through darkness, and I've seen him watch through difficulty, and I've seen him make mistakes, and I've seen him get up and move forward, and I've seen him take responsibility for his failures. I've seen him grow. I've watched him preach in his preaching, growing in his preaching. And you watch that, and you say, I'm following that. I want to imitate him as he follows Christ. I'm not going to walk like Dr. Lewis walked, talk like he talks, everybody. No, you're not going to do that. That's not what he's talking about, right? The mannerisms and all that. What Paul is saying here is, when you see somebody following Christ, like Paul was, that you watch, what do they do? Well, they take responsibility for their failures, and they don't dwell on their failures. And when difficulty comes, they don't get occupied with worry and fear. They confess the truth of the Word of God. They have faith thoughts. They think with faith. They move forward even in their sorrow and in their difficulty. They keep serving God. They lay their life down when it costs them something. See, that's what we're imitating. Right? Everybody understand that? That's what we're called to imitate in one another. So Paul says that that is an incredibly, and he repeats it over and over again so we know that there's great value and an incredible priority. 1 Corinthians 6, 1-6 says, "And you became followers of us and the Lord and received the word in much affliction." In another place, 1 Corinthians 2:14, "For you, brethren, became imitators." You became imitators of the churches of God. So he's saying, your church, this group, became an imitator of another group. You saw what other effective, powerful, broken, wonderful, loving, serving churches did, and you imitated that church. That's what Paul's saying. So in this focus that we have on who Christ is and seeing that in other people, there is a powerful transforming effect. Because what I'm seeing when I watched Joe DiMaggio follow Christ, I'm watching Christ. Do you understand what I mean by that? Let's say I watch Sue Case and I watch her work with Sunday school and I watch her serve the body of Christ. And by the way, a lot of times we talk about the men, and but I tell you, we got some incredible women in this congregation, don't we? And you know, I've been thinking about different people lately. I could say something amazing about all of you, but especially grateful for Sue. She's always has something helpful that is helpful input. She's not afraid to speak her mind. It's great having someone like that in your family, isn't it? And she serves. She'll put her money where her mouth is. And when you need her for something, she's right there. So we appreciate it. Give Sue a big hand. But see, now, when you see that in somebody, you want to imitate that, right? But when I'm watching that in her life, I'm seeing Christ. And you know what's happening? I'm looking at that glory in the mirror. So I don't have to get on my knees and try to visualize, what would God do here? I can see him right in the congregation. So rather than looking for some, mythical, what's the word I'm looking for? Rather than looking for something, you know, ethereal, or I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. I can literally see the glory of God right amongst my friends in Christ. And that's a powerful thing. But it's not, I just don't appreciate it. It's more than that. I appreciate it, but while I'm watching it, it's conforming me to the image of Christ. Because that's God. I hope you understand this tonight. This is a simple, what I'm simply saying is this. We read the scriptures and we learn about God, but boy, we look at the body of Christ and we see him work. And when we see him work, there's a powerful transformation that happens. I can watch it in Josh's life, in Kathy's life. I can see it in Raquel and Mike. I see it in Kathy Lasher. I can see it in people. And when I watch him work in their life, and I see them work through them, that's the glory of God. And that transforms my life. That changes me. That's powerful. A lot of people don't appreciate that. You know what begins to happen to a congregation that sees the glory of God in one another? It grows. It grows in depth. It grows numerically. It grows a lot of different ways. You know, there are folks that will come and they'll enjoy the peripheral benefit of God's the worship of God. But many people will just get that. They'll never, maybe they won't gaze at the glory of God in the body of Christ. Had somebody at the harvest dinner, one of my guests, lean over to me and said, "These people are amazing." And he wasn't being like, "These people are really amazing," like we'd say to each other. But he looked out and he said, This group of people is really just incredible." He's watching people interact and talk to each other. You think it's a common thing that people will spend time with one another and actually take interest and enjoy each other's company and talk. And some people in the congregation get familiar with that. They think, "This is common. This happens all the time," because you're in it. But you know, when you step away from the body, and you should never do this, but if you were to be moved away for some reason, you miss that. I tell you, I'd go away for a couple weeks, and you could go away for the family for a week or two. I miss that, because I don't get that with my own family back home. It's different. It's not fellowship. You know why? Because I'm not beholding the glory of God amongst the unsaved. But I am with the body of Christ. And even an unsaved person can look and see that. And that's what Paul meant when he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that there is a sweet aroma that happens when this takes place. Now this word again, imitator. You know, once you get past the initial shock of this as being an injunction, which is, hey, listen, imitate God. You see, it's a shocking thing, isn't it? That God actually wants imitators. Isn't that something? God wants people to imitate Him. So you get past the shock of that injunction. And then you notice the statement, mementes is actually a reference to how a child follows and imitates their parents. And this is what God is looking for from us. The following as a child would follow a parent. Where he goes, I go. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, my father said to me, we were alone. He said, "We're going to go to Nani Stalteri's." I said, "I don't want to go." He said, "Well, I'm going. And you're not staying." I was like 5, 6, something like that. I said, "I'm not going. I want to stay home." He said, "You can't. Get in the car or I'll break your arm." And it was the lesson learned there is where Dad goes, I go. And you know what I found out? My dad liked ice cream cones. And my dad liked French fries. And I found out once in a while, if I went where he went, I'd get what he got. I would enjoy what he enjoyed. And then I began to find something, and I'd never appreciated this until I was about 8. My grandmothers, they could cook anything, and it'd blow your mind. My grandmother could go out and get a handful of grass and bring it in. You'd swear to God it was a gourmet meal. One of them used to, you know, an escarole. She would boil the escarole and the bitterness would be gone, and she'd mix that in with a bunch of eggs and put other stuff in it. It was unbelievable. I started to realize, and it would be, "Hey, Dad, when are we going to Grandma Nani's, Nani Stalteri's again? Or we going to your mom's?" It became fun on Saturday to follow Dad around. And I really would look forward to that, to do what Dad was doing. So that's memetai, or memetes. That's the word here. To follow and imitate and actually enjoy the benefit of that. There's a sweet-smelling savor to God. You know, Exodus 29, I just want to point this out. Exodus 29, verse 18 says, "You will burn the whole ram on the altar. It's a burnt offering to the Lord. It's a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. I'll tell you this. When something just dies and rots, it smells hideous. But what happens when something dies and you burn it right away? Barbecue. There's a different smell, isn't it? I'd rather eat a cow a day after over the fire than 4 weeks later on the roadside. Now, Kathy Kirky and Tim may have a different opinion. Roadkill is not a healthy thing. For the record, I don't think he ever ate anything like that. But here's the point. We're called to lay down our life. That's death, right? But if it's just death, then it's rot. It's hideous. God wants us to add fire to our death. When you add fire to death, something special happens. To your faith, you add fire to your faith. You add fire to your child training. Add fire to your worship. Add fire to your evangelism. Add some fire to your prayers. Add some fire, and you have this sweet-smelling aroma. That's what imitating God is. It's passionately following Him, mimicking the love, the sacrifice, seeing it in other people, and having a fire happen in your life. That's a sweet-smelling aroma. That's what Ephesians 5:1 is talking about. And that's what the church needs today. God's people need to recognize the work of Christ in each and every person. We need to recognize. You ever get around somebody and they're acting a little strange? You say, geez, that smells a little funny. That seems a little funny. That's not the sweet-smelling aroma. That's an off aroma. That's like, oof, what is that? That's because something's dying, but there's no fire. When someone's spirit is off and you're around them, it's like, why is their spirit off all the time? Well, something's dying in their life, but there's no fire. The only thing missing for that person is fire. The death is going to happen. Listen, I'll be very honest with you tonight. The last 3 to 6 months have been horrendously difficult for me personally. They've been horrendously hard, difficult 3 to 6 months. Some folks know some details. Others don't need to. I don't want to burden everybody with that, and I don't like to do that. But you know what? I know many of you, the same thing. It's been very difficult for many people. Some folks have had terrible physical issues happen. Some people have had their reputation attacked. Some people have had the work, crazy work schedule. Some people have had family crisis happen. Some have had all four of those things together. The bottom line is something's going to die. We're all going to be led to a place where God is working all things together. Amen? It's going to happen to all of us. The difference between someone who's going to make it out and they're still going to follow Christ and represent Christ and the person who just dies and rots and stinks there is fire. It's being around people who have a fire in their life and imitating the fire. Imitate the passion. Pray with passion. Worship with passion. Love one another with a passion. Read the Bible with a passion. Try to win people to Christ that have a passion for the people that you're working around. I don't like this phrase at all because I've heard it said. I heard some other pastor used this phrase, fake it till you make it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about faking something spiritual. We're talking about gazing at it in other people. See Christ in other people. Fix your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ as you study in the Word. Fix your eyes on Christ when you sing these songs and think about the words. Fix your eyes on Christ as you see Him in other people. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Amen? See, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. All right, that's all I got. Father, we thank you tonight for the word here. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you that there's so many examples of great service, great love, great sacrifice, people who are both compassionate. You got your people who are very compassionate, and then you got your people who are very truthful. Then you got your people as a combination of both. And everybody's different. There are no twins in the body of Christ, really. There are no twins. But there are imitators. And we see Christ in one another, and we long to be like that. We long to, we want to mimic other people's faithfulness, and we want to mimic other people's love, and we want to mimic other people's joy, and we want to mimic those things. And we see that in each other, and we want to mimic it. We desire that. And that's what that word is, mimetes. It's where we get the word mimic. It's imitating by following and enjoying the benefits of doing that. Help us, Lord, to do that and really get this message tonight. We really long to know you this way. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.